Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for our worship this morning. Thank you that we've been able to come together to give you the glory, to thank you, Father, to celebrate what you've done for us through Jesus. So we thank you for that. Thank you for the encouragement, the edification, the exhortation that worship is. And Father, thank you now that we are gathering around your word, going to plant some seeds in our hearts, good seeds, perfect seeds. And we just pray that they go into good ground. Pray that we understand these words, understand them so that seeds are not stolen, to produce that fruit that we desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Awesome. Week 7, or lesson 7, because I'm not doing it every week. Lesson 7 of Simply Jesus, my current teaching series. Sorry? It is that simple. Simply Jesus. That's what it's all about. Working my way through the ministry of Jesus. And I'd not planned it this way, but I'm kind of working my way through the book of John. I love the Gospel of John. It's my favorite gospel. For me, it's the most exciting one. It's about encounters with people. And I just love that. And it was the first series I ever taught on back at the old church when I was a trainee. How many years ago would that have been? How many years would that have been when Dave went away on holiday? 16 years ago, my first series. Caught lots of teachings under my belt since then. So it's been my favorite gospel since then. Most exciting. And we've seen some great things as baptism, water into wine, cleansing the temple. And I've been using these accounts to show you that Jesus came to end religion. Came to say religion's finished. Remember, he desecrated the water jars? No longer need them. You know, no longer needed them as your faith was in the finished work to cleanse your spirit. You don't need to cleanse yourself. He cleansed the temple, no longer need for any sacrifices. He was the best, wasn't he? He was the perfect sacrifice, the last sacrifice. No longer need the doves and the lambs and the animals because he was the sacrifice. Amen. So all these things are saying religion's finished, religion's over because I'm here now. The schoolmaster, you don't need it because I'm here. You don't need to look at the shadow because I'm here. All that. And I want to carry on this week under the theme of ending religion. Now, this is a sermon I've taught many times before, but I think the addition this week is in terms of this theme of Jesus coming to end religion. And it carries on in the book of John, I believe. So let me read a few verses. John 3, verse 1 and 2. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And then John 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Now you guys know that's one of my favorite verses in the book of John. And he must needs go through Samaria. No, he didn't. But we might get to that later. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now, I've missed out a huge swathe of scripture between those two passages. Lots and lots going on in these encounters. I could talk about what Jesus says about his ministry. And what Jesus says about the kingdom of God. And what Jesus says about worshiping in spirit and in truth, about being born again. But that's for another sermon. I'm not covering that this morning. I want to focus on something else. His encounter with these two individuals is a picture of the end of religion. I've not preached this way before, but it's just a new way of looking at it. Jesus meets these two people, and what the gospel writer is saying, the typology behind this is religion is now finished. First, we need to talk about the inclusivity of Jesus, which is what I've focused on in this passage in the past. The inclusivity of true Christianity. That is the main thrust of these two encounters. And I'll just kind of summarize it, and then I'll move on to the newer kind of stuff. Here we see Jesus taking time for and being in relationship with the extreme ends of society. Yeah, I've preached on this before. There was this social scale, the society of the day, and there were winners and losers. There were people at each end of the social scale, of the social spectrum. Nicodemus, man of power and influence, Pharisee, member of the ruling class. Samaritan woman. Now, this is the first time I've noticed this. Obviously, when I read this every time, but this is the first time that this really hit home on me. This woman with no name. The Pharisee, given a name. The man, given a name. The woman, no name. First time I've seen this. This woman of such insignificance that you never find out her name. Not important enough to be given a name. And of course, now I'm just realizing, this week as I've been meditating on these accounts, I realize this was deliberate. There's nothing missed out or wrong with Scripture. This is deliberate. He's given a name, she isn't. And that's deliberate. The writer could have said, John 2, there was a man of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews, that came to see Jesus. He could have said that. No, deliberately gives us his name. Why? Because he's a man, Evelyn. But also because he was important. He was important. He merited a name. But the Samaritan woman, never given a name. So insignificant, of such little importance, not even given a name. It made me think of this book I'm currently reading. If I remember rightly, it's an audio book, so I've not looked at the cover. It's called Wild Swans. Has anyone heard of that? Wild Swans. It's a history of China in the 20th century, told through the lives of three generations of women. Absolutely fascinating. If you read it, it's an amazing history of China. You know, from the old, like, almost emperor through communists to capitalism. It's amazing. But when the first lady was born, you guess what her name was? First daughter. That was her name. First daughter. Didn't have a name. Now her brother comes along. He was given a name. I couldn't remember what it was. I couldn't be bothered finding it. I wouldn't have been able to pronounce it anyway. But he was given a name. Why? Because he was important to the family. So he was given a name. The girls were of no importance. So she was first daughter. And then they had a son. Then they had another daughter. What was she called? Second daughter. It's awful. But that made me think, why waste time on giving girls names? Because they're just of no significance, no importance. And it was like that in the context of the day when Jesus was on earth. This is what the gospel writer is telling us here. In so many ways, he uses so many pictures. Now, we've spoken about the Samaritan, the woman, not married. Don't even need to go there today. Just no name. That's enough. Nicodemus was important. He was the highest in society. The Samaritan woman, no significance, lowest of society, no name. So low, she did not even deserve to be given a name. Now, that is a powerful picture. And you know what? What I find out this week, it's such a powerful picture when we get it that religion has tried to destroy that picture, and she has a name. In the Catholic Church, she's called Saint Fotina. No biblical evidence for this. Nothing. No evidence whatsoever. If you look into it on the internet, she went to this place and died, she went to that place and died, she went somewhere else and died. I mean, she died all over the place, this woman. It's a bit like Bonnie Prince Charlie. Slept in every bed in Scotland apart from his own. You know, I was like, there's just... I was thinking, once we understand this picture, religion comes along and tries to destroy it. You know, it's like the nativity narrative. Try to destroy that beautiful picture by sticking in the wise men. Three wise men who have got names. You know, it's a bit like this here. This is such a powerful picture. The organized religion has changed this picture and given her a name. Saint Fotina. No biblical evidence for this, though. Just another example of stuff made up by religion. What's the picture here? It's all about inclusivity. Jesus relating to the highest of the high and the lowest of the low, and therefore the picture is everyone in between, where we are. And hopefully none of you are sitting there and thinking, well, actually, I'm the highest of the high. And then hopefully none of you are sitting there thinking, well, I'm the lowest of the low. No, like we grade ourselves. We're kind of in between. Jesus will relate to him, to her. Therefore, he'll relate to everybody in between. That's what the picture is. No one missed out. No one excluded. All included. All can come to Jesus. Jesus will relate to all. And we know that because we've looked at this amazing picture already. But then what I was thinking about, it's not just about inclusiveness and inclusivity, because there is an opposite to that. It's about not being exclusive. And guys, that is exactly what religion is. Organized religion, by its very nature, is exclusive. By being inclusive, Jesus is saying, I am here to finish religion. I am not exclusive. Religion is not about me. It is over. It is finished, is what he's saying. And I was thinking about how exclusive religion and religions can be. And yes, in the Christian tradition as well. I was reminded about that. What I thought at the time was really quite a sad news item about a chap called Lord Fraser. He was in the House of Lords, but he was also an elder in the Free Church of Scotland, and he was kicked out of his denomination, removed from fellowship because of the terrible crime of attending the funeral of a Catholic friend. Kicked out of his church, excluded from his religion because of certain actions. Saw a horrible video recently of tore my heartstrings. This devastated father, who was an elder in the Jehovah's Witnesses, who had to treat his daughters as if they were dead because they'd been removed from fellowship because of things they did. They wanted to leave the church. So because they left the church, their religion is so exclusive that they're not with us anymore. They're dead. You cannot speak to your doctors. That's how exclusive. Religion is exclusive and religion is ugly. Now, I just picked on two organized religions here. I can pick on loads of others. Ugly. There are, in this country, across the world, but in this country, there are churches of the same color, of the same nationality, of the same social classes, and you're excluded if you're not in that group. I can think of churches right now. No, you need to go to your own church. Go to your own church. Your own color, your own class, your own people. That's not what Jesus displayed. That's not true Christianity. See, Christianity is not a religion. said that before. Christianity is a relationship. Jesus didn't come to start another religion. He came to finish religion. I was, don't know if I've told you this, I was in Tbilisi a couple of weeks ago. I was just after I came back from Australia. So I was in Tbilisi a wee while ago. Yeah, Josh, that's just for you, my friend. And I went to this amazing church that was actually right next door at the hotel. I had some time to spare before work. I zoomed out and back because it was already 30 degrees at 8:30 in the morning. But anyway, I went to this 6th century church. It was absolutely stunning, beautiful. And I sat down. There was nobody there. They just opened the doors. I sat down and I felt such peace, such serenity in this house of God. Just having a little prayer, and it was amazing. And then a few ladies started to come in, on their own, one at a time, about 4 or 5 of them, over a space of 10 minutes. And they started with their crossing themselves, genuflecting, is that what that's called?
Yes.
Yeah. Kissing the pictures, kissing the icons, kissing the boxes that the pictures were in, touching their lips and forehead and touching the pictures. Doing things that they did for their religion, lighting what seemed to be like 1,000 candles, you know, that they'd bought on the way in. All right, nice one. But, and I felt completely out of it. Absolutely completely out of it. Now, felt really weird, and I left thinking, this is excluding me. I'm not being, this isn't inclusive. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I was just sitting there. I didn't know which way to go and what to kiss and what not to kiss and all that. I was not part of that church, not part of that tradition, not part of that religion. See what I'm trying to say? I'm not trying to be horrible to these ladies. They were probably very godly, loved the Lord. But that was their church, their religion. I was in their church and it wasn't mine. And there was just this feeling of, I'm not supposed to be here. Religion is exclusive. Jesus Christ is not. Right in the middle of that passage of Jesus meeting Nicodemus and Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman is a gem of a passage that we all know, John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's that amazing word twice, whosoever. Whosoever is not exclusive. Whosoever is inclusive. I love that word. All about inclusivity. God so loved the world, cosmos, the earth and all its inhabitants. Nobody's missed. That word, cosmos, is all about inclusivity as well. John 3:15-16 should destroy exclusivity, should destroy religion and religiosity. This is for all the world. Jesus relating to a Pharisee, I'm not even going to name him. Jesus relating to a Pharisee and a Samaritan, that itself was very important. Two very different religious, national, and social groups. And of course, then you just throw male and female into the mix. It's even higher. This is all about inclusivity and the destruction of exclusivity. At that time, back in that society, it was of the utmost importance which group you were born into. It's a bit like the caste system that in some parts of India is alive and well. Ugly. Your life is determined by the group you're born into. Pharisee, Samaritan. And you're exclusively in that group. Jesus came along and said, bringing an end to this, amen? I'm just bringing an end to that. No more of this nonsense of exclusion. Galatians 3. Verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. All to the exclusion of nothing. You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is therefore Sorry, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There's a final nail in the coffin of religion. A religion firmly booted out, or it should have been if churches knew their scripture. New Galatians. In Christ, we are all the same. It has nothing to do with nationality, Jew or Greek. Nothing to do with social class, bond nor free. Nothing to do with gender, male or female. Notice, two genders, but we'll not go down there. Male or female. Now all one in Christ Jesus. All the same. Inclusive, not exclusive. With Jesus, it's now all about relationship and not religion. Religion is dead. Or it should be. Unfortunately, it's alive and well. But it should be dead. It's all about relationship now. Let's do a little trawl through the scriptures. 1 John 2, verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Hallelujah. So we're okay. Let's move on. No. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole cosmos. Whole world. 2 Corinthians 5. Verses 18 and 19 said, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in the world, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verses we all know. Put them together, rightly divide them, and they destroy exclusivity and destroy religion, or they should do. What are they saying? Jesus has paid for sin. How much sin? All sin. Yes, ours, but not just ours. Your irreligious neighbor who kicks the dog, Carol, has had all those sins forgiven. Jesus has paid for all sin, the sin of the cosmos, the earth and all the inhabitants. Jesus has provided reconciliation for all, the whole cosmos, the whole of mankind. So now, because of that forgiveness, and that reconciliation, this is the gospel, any man can therefore now move, or woman, any man or woman, or boy or girl, can therefore now move as an act of faith into salvation. That is inclusiveness. You hear this all over the blooming social media now, inclusion and diversity. Get all that nonsense. This is true inclusion. 1 John 2, 2, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19, and 2 Peter 3, 9. That's all we need to know about inclusion. Any human being can move as an act of faith into salvation. That's inclusivity right there, if you rightly divide those three passages together. No exclusions. All included. From Nicodemus, let's give him a name, seeing as the scriptures did, to Samaritan woman. You know, I keep saying one of the things I'm going to do when I get to heaven is go and find Caleb and knock around with him. Because I'd love to spend some time with Caleb because he sounds like my kind of guy in his 80s and 90s and give me the big ones. You know, I want to see Caleb, but I want to find out this lady's name. Wonder what her name is. I bet you I'm going to be really sick if it's Fatina. Probably not. I'll have forgotten about all this by then. I doubt if it's going to be Bettina. Where was I? From Nicodemus to the dear Samaritan woman who is unnamed and all in between. inclusive. No, if you're a whosoever, that 2 Peter 3:9 talks about should. The opportunity is there. If we are in that, if you've not chosen as an act of faith to come to Jesus yet, the opportunity is there because you're a whosoever. You're in that spectrum between Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman. Every person that's ever walked the earth or will ever walk the earth before Jesus comes back is in that spectrum. And as an act of faith can move into salvation. Why? Because they've been forgiven. Because they've been reconciled. All we need to do now, or all people need to do, is make that decision. You're going to come to Christ. You're a whosoever. John 3:15 and 16. Whosoever. No matter how good you are. Now that picture is Nicodemus. The Pharisees were good. In the eyes of the religious people of the day, Pharisees are really good. They were the best, most zealous. We use that word already, zealous. They were so zealous. And it doesn't matter how bad you are. She was a bad woman in the eyes of the religious society of the day. But Jesus comes along and says, it's nothing to do with you now. I'll have you, and I'll have you. You're welcome, you're welcome. I love you, I love you. And everybody in between. You're all in between there. She's way over there, and he's way over there. You're like in the middle. Jesus comes along and says, it's nothing to do with you now. No matter how good you are, that won't keep you in. No matter how bad you are, that won't put you out. But that's what religion says. That's what religion does. If you're good enough to be one of us, come in. If you're bad enough, you're out. That's what religion says. I remember being interviewed at a previous church to see if I could become a member. Interviewed to see if I could pass the test to be a member. Inclusive, exclusive. It's nothing to do with Jesus. Sorry? Yes, they let me in. I was good enough at that point. Don't know if I'd get in now, hallelujah. Amen. So that's what would you agree that's what religion does? You know, if you're good enough, if you pray enough, if you tithe enough, if you fast enough, especially if you tithe enough, you're very welcome to be part of our church, part of our religion. But oh no, if you do this, you do that, you're excluded. You're not allowed to take communion, you know, until you get rid of that sin. Now you can sit at the back, you're not allowed past the gates into where you get communion. It's only the good ones that are allowed in to get communion. That's alive and well in church, in religion. Sounds like I'm booting them. There are lots of godly, lovely, Christian-filled people in these churches. It's religion I'm having a go at. Amen. Jesus comes along and says, nothing to do now with what you do. No matter that you're the goody-goody Nicodemus, and it's no matter that you're the baddie-baddie Samaritan woman. You're both welcome in my relationship. Religion is all about what individuals do. Their actions, their good deed, their works, and the bad things as well. That's now dead. Jesus is saying, now, and this is not ego or pride, Jesus is now saying, look at me. It is all about me. Now, we shouldn't be saying that, but he can say that because he's God Almighty. Yeah. Look at me. Don't look at the shadow. Look at me. Don't need the schoolmaster anymore. Look at me. And in this context, in the start of John, it's going to be, just you wait and see what I'm going to do. But as I said last week, we're in a much better position than the disciples. Because we can look back and say, look what he's done. We're on the best side of the cross, looking at what Jesus has done, what he's taken to the grave and what he's left there and what he's come up with, new life. We've got that. It's not about what we do now. It's about what he's done. There should be no religion, as in reaching out towards God. He's reached out to us through Jesus Christ. Religion's dead. End of. Now, when Jesus was on the cross and he said, it is finished, he could have been talking about religion. There's loads of things he was talking about. I like to think he is also talking about religion. It is finished. All done. No more sacrifices. No more temple. No more good works, good deeds. Although we do good works and good deeds out of love for him. We don't do the good works to be rewarded, to be loved. No, you don't have to do that anymore. Dead, no longer needed. His actions and our trust in him, that's enough. That is enough. I watched I'm a history buff. I don't know whether I like it or dislike it, because I'm starting to watch history programs about stuff that I remember. Yeah. You kind of know you're getting old when the Berlin Wall coming down is history. And the troubles in Northern Ireland is history. I mean, hallelujah, praise God that it's history. But I was watching this. It's a wonderful program about the life and ministry of Ian Paisley, who is a real huge figure that I remember from my youth. And I was like, I thought I didn't like the guy. But all day, every day, this guy just preaches the gospel. And a few other things that's probably not as savory. But there's this old black and white picture of him preaching his heart out. And I was thinking, I could be saying that. That's what I say. See, there's nothing about what you do. It's all about what Jesus has done. Just put your trust in Jesus. It's not about your actions. It's about his actions. It's all through the finished work of Jesus. I'm thinking, this is the gospel. And it was amazing. His actions, our trust, that's it, because Ian Paisley used the word, we trust him. We trust what he's done, and that's enough. It was like, they were saying, how are you going to get into heaven? He said, well, it's not about what I do. It's not about what I don't do. It's all about what Jesus has done. I said, yes, Mr. Paisley. Lovely. Yes, his actions, our trust in him, that is now what's enough. Relationship, not religion. Religion needs to die. It needs to have its head cut off and booted away. It's ugly. It's exclusive. These relationships that Jesus wants is with anyone and everyone. Comes a responsibility of us. We need to make sure we're not exclusive. But that's another sermon. Jesus wants a relationship with anyone and everyone. Who with? With whosoever. Amen. That's what he wants. You are a whosoever who you've come in. You are a whosoever if you're in. If you're not, you're still a whosoever. And you can come in, not into my church, not in our church, not in our religion, but you can come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Awesome. You're a whosoever. You're all included in this one-to-one relationship with Jesus. All invited, no exclusions, all welcome. Amen. Hallelujah.